Welcome back to WBT Radio. This is the Pete Callender's program. I'm Brad Slager, filling in for Pete. And the reason I might be occupying your seat, I've been a guest on Pete's show a few times recently, and one of my strong suits, one of the things I really tend to cover frequently, my daily column and my podcast, is the media and the mayhem and malpractice that takes place with our press industry. I like to lay out for everybody what is going on in the press, not to surprise you and say, oh my gosh, they're biased, but I try to give you the game plan. I try to show you how they operate. And this helps you out. You can combat the narratives. You can battle back some of the storylines and help you out in whether it's promoting certain social issues or candidates or politics, because the press, while more people are walking away from them, they still have a degree of influence on things. I want to lay out for this segment how they do so, tying into the so-called Inflation Act that was just passed that really is not, because you see how many people in the press and on the Democrat side of the aisle are cheering the effects this is going to have on the planet. All the green energy investment, all of the CO2 reductions and things of this nature that they're trumpeting in this bill that was supposed to lower costs for everybody, but is going to cost us. It's just that evident. Well, it's that environmental issue that is kind of a sticking point for the press, but at the same time, they adhere to it despite the problems that frequently rear up as being contradictory. Now, you know, as far as global warming goes, it's not like I'm a science denier. I'm not a hardcore activist on one side or the other. I tend to kind of say, give me some data, give me some science, give me something tangible to hang on to. I might be willing to listen to you. The problem is, repeatedly and over the years, we have seen that all of the hype, the hysteria, the promises are often contradicted. And it's not by contrary hysteria, but by actual data. You know, for years we were told the ozone hole over Antarctica was going to make the ice flows there shrink, and that was going to flood into the ocean, affect the salinity of the seas and things of this nature. And yet, years back, all of a sudden, NASA started taking satellite imagery of the area and coming up with record ice growth in Antarctica. I don't know. Seems to veer a little bit off the path of promise that we had. Now, just recently, I think I saw where they said recently the ice flows have shrunk to, something like the 10 lowest levels ever. But this is in the span of 5-6 years. Ebbs and flows take place. These, you know, the ice at Antarctica is not instantaneously affected by global warming, is my point. And the promises that we've been given are frequently contradicted. Well, it's been a tough weekend environmentally for the press, it seems. One story came out from The Hill. Children have been measured to be less physically fit than they have in the past. They are in poor physical condition because of climate change. Climate change is affecting children's health and athleticism, apparently. Mind you, what wasn't part of this study is the fact that maybe children being banned from school for a good year or so, as well as being prevented from going out in social situations because of the pandemic, maybe that would have factored into things a little bit. To say an individual's fitness is impacted by climate change, I have a hard time with this. I'm sorry. Just doesn't line up with me. If anything, if temperatures are warmer outside, wouldn't that encourage more external activity, going out further, more hours, things of this nature? No. Because generally, you know, colder, frigid winter temperatures confine people a little bit more, is my interpretation of things. But it gets even better. Or worse, depending on perspective. Friday, kind of a jarring news report came out. There was a lightning strike across the street from the White House. And three individuals actually lost their lives as a direct result of this. And a fourth individual was hospitalized. Pretty jarring, pretty harsh. You can't anticipate this kind of stuff too often. However, Reuters takes a look at this news item and declares that was climate change. That serves as a warning to us. A lightning strike, which I'm sorry, I'm kind of familiar with lightning being around. It's part of nature. Lightning happens, has happened. I mean, I live in Florida. We are one of the top rated lightning strikes locations in the world, literally. There's a reason why Tampa Bay has named their team the Lightning. It's because of that very issue. Ben Franklin was rather notable for his experiments with electricity and lightning. He was installing lightning rods on homes in colonial times. And we're going back 270 years ago. It's been a factor for us, let's just say. But there's one other story that came out, I think, that really underscores the problems with media coverage regarding climate change. And again, I'm not in the business right now of dissuading anybody. I'm not trying to change minds or such. I'm of the mind that I look at data and I look at reporting of it. You know, each year at Red State for Earth Day, I put out a lengthy column where all I do is list out media coverage of global warming or climate change, things that they insist are going to take place. And it is a lengthy list of both hysterical proportions, but also a very long list of contradictions. They tell us things like there's going to be more sharks or there's going to be fewer sharks. That, for instance, climate change is going to affect the clouds, but they can't agree if it means more clouds or fewer clouds. And if more clouds means it'll shade the planet and cool us, or it'll trap the heat, or if there's fewer clouds, it won't reflect the sun, but it also won't trap. They can't make up their mind one way or the other and which aspect of it is good or bad. Well, some news came out from Australia. We have been promised, again, for years, if not decades, that one of the things that was going to be severely impacted by global warming or climate change was the Great Barrier Reef, and it was going to experience significant die-off as ocean temperatures rise and bleaching takes place, things of this nature. It was just dire news. It was promised to take place. Here, however, is the latest report from Australia. Two-thirds of the Great Barrier Reef in Australia recorded the highest amount of coral cover in nearly four decades. This runs in direct contradiction to what we've been promised. And marine scientists have found that parts of Australia's Great Barrier Reef recorded these highest levels of coral cover since monitoring began nearly four decades ago. So the very thing that they assured us would take place is not only not taking place, but things are much better than they said. You know, just go from point zero, we were going to lose a certain percentage of the reef by this point in time is what we were assured. Instead, it's gone in the exact opposite direction. There's significant growth taking place on that very reef. And this cannot be regarded as good news, of course. I've got the Washington Post, I've got CNBC, and a number of others said the reef is still vulnerable to climate change and mass bleaching, said one monitoring group. and the reef's recovery could be swiftly undone by global warming. So despite the good news, it's still bad news. Right, welcome back to WBT and the Pete Callender Show. This is Brad Slager filling in for Pete, and I understand we've got a caller who wants to go over some of my global warming talk. So, Shannon, are you still with us? Did we lose him? Guess so. I was priming myself too. I was looking to get attacked, but I guess we drop, but if we come back, let me know, Shannon. In the meantime, though, got a couple other news items that have been kicking around. I want to throw back to a couple of stories I had covered on Friday as some more developments have kind of come through on them. I was talking about how the FBI director, Christopher Wray, was on the Hill and going through a couple of grilling episodes with the senators. A lot of the GOPers from Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz were giving him the business, as it were, over some of the business of the FBI. One thing I didn't mention, however, was in the course of his questioning, he tried to get out of the questioning by saying he had a plane to catch. He didn't really have time for the senators. And it turns out that what they had challenged him on is like, excuse me, Mr. Wray, but don't you have a private jet that you use? You can pretty much take off at will. So he was kind of nailed to the seat. A little bit more information now has come out. This is Miranda Devine over at the New York Post that actually dug into this and found out that he had taken his Gulfstream jet courtesy of the FBI. And they tracked him on radar. Found out he had to make a 1 hour and 12 minute flight that afternoon to Saranac Lake out in the Adirondacks. This is a known vacation destination of Christopher Wray. He loves to go out there for his fishing trips. This is what he did not have time for the senators any longer because of this harsh commitment to, I don't know, I'm not sure what they have in the Adirondacks, trout, maybe, possibly that's what it is. So this was the pressing appointment that he did not have time for Congress any longer. I got to get out of here, guys. I think it's low tide, if that affects the lake. Okay, is Shannon back? I understand Shannon's on the line.
Hey, I'm not sure what happened there, but I love your show. Good to talk with you.
Not a problem. What do you got? I got global warming that you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, with the global warming virtue signaling going on throughout the world, it's so ridiculous because the world has survived massive asteroid collisions, meteor showers, solar flares, just droughts and El Ninos and just you name it. The world has survived. It's got an amazing healing effect. Same with the carbon. The plants create more food when there's more carbon in the air. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And we're not going to phase this planet. It's going to be here till the very last day of judgment. And there's not a thing anybody can do to prevent it or extend the length of time.
Yeah, I think that's a hardcore truth. I don't think too many people are going to debate that detail. That's why you hear a lot of times, too, where they modify the language and they say, well, we have to do this for the preservation of man or such, that we're killing ourselves off. And, you know, pretty much my take on it is, you know, again, give me the data and I'm with you. But there's so much conflicting data. And anytime I reference it, what happens? I get called a science denier.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I'm sorry, but this came from NASA. This coral reef study I mentioned came from ocean biologists. You know, that's usually constitutes scientific data, does it not? But if you use that against them, oh, suddenly you're a heretic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Whatever happened to the pursuit of happiness? I mean, they just wanted to kill us all, leave us at home, you know, to control everything that we do or say or how we get there and what we use to get there. It's ridiculous.
Well, you may have touched on something right there, Shannon, because usually when these stories come out, your happiness is regarded as the problem.
Oh, yeah.
What you're doing in the pursuit of life is what's offensive to them. And so you have to be accused of all these problems that they have manufactured. Yeah, well, I appreciate the call, Shannon.
You shouldn't be happy.
Exactly. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time. And just to throw out another piece of contrary data, if you will, I came across this story over the weekend and reported in my I have a Pulitzer Prize dishonor column I put out once a week, making fun of just some of the more ludicrous news stories. We're supposedly in this era of excessive CO2, correct? We have too much. We're killing the planet, as they say, or at least killing ourselves because of too much CO2. Word comes out of Boston from WGBH News. Local breweries in the Boston area are under stress and they're facing severe problems because of a CO2 shortage somehow. So while the planet has too much, the brewers have too little. Seems like they should be able to go out and find it. Welcome back to WBT Radio. This is the Pete Callender Show, and this is Brad Slager filling in for Pete. And just a reminder that you can catch your favorite shows and stream anything that you miss when you go over to WBT.com and keep abreast on all of the news taking place at the station on social media at WBT Radio. All right, it's been primary season right now. We are in the midst of it here in Florida. We got ours coming up in about a week or so, but there's been some interesting developments throughout the country already in the previous that we've seen already. And some of the developments are of a forecasting nature, let's just say, that there's a number of races that have been watched across the country, and the media is particularly focused on individuals with affiliation or endorsements from Donald Trump. These are all being factored as individuals who might be election deniers, part of the big lie, as they say. And the big fear, of course, is, according to the media, that these election deniers are going to be in charge of the elections. I'm not an adherent of any of this. Anybody that was part of the mob riot should have been arrested. Were some of the sentences handed down or some of the jail times excessive? Seems to be the case, but hey, you broke the law, you'll pay the price. I'm perfectly acceptable with that. And I'm not a diehard adherent to Donald Trump, nor am I wildly opposed to the man. I try to measure things on a policy-by-policy basis. People used to do this politically, by the way. They would look at things on an individual subject basis, not who put that idea out. Look how many times we've seen in the press, for instance, if Donald Trump suggested something that the media in the past had suggested, suddenly it was a bad idea. You know, it's that kind of childish reaction to things. Well, they're taking that same approach to a lot of the primary results. And what we're starting to see is that there's still a bit of sway, you can state, that Donald Trump has. Many candidates he supported have won, not across the board, not all of them, but still a significant number. And many of those who have opposed Trump and or even voted to impeach the man have faced losses. But this isn't my focus on things. I look at something else here, and that is these are Republican candidates who've taken stances and curried favor with the Democrats only to be burned by the Democrats. This is where I think the real lesson rests. It's not pro-Trump or anti-Trump. Are you a rhino? Are you this or that? It's when you start to work in tandem with the enemy party, the reward and the results, I'm sorry, they're just not there. What benefit could you possibly derive from this? That's where my confusion rests. And this is something we're starting to see play out with regularity. Now, Liz Cheney, she's kind of the figurehead of the contrarian Republican, right? It's been her pledge to defeat Donald Trump, to go after the man and knock him down, prevent him from being reelected, all of this. Well, it's paying a price politically for her. Currently in Wyoming, polls show her not just behind, but getting trounced. Some of the polls have her down by over 20% in the poll. I mean, that's just harsh, almost. You know, usually like a 5 or 6% gap is alarming or sign of trouble. Double digits, whoa, you're probably going to lose. When you get into the 20 percentile, it might be time just to give up. I mean, everybody has pretty much written Liz Cheney off losing in the primary, mind you. And this is all because she has been not just focused, but nearly obsessed with this January 6th commission that she's on. The issue is not, you know, if people are trying to say, oh, she's going against Trump, that's what's happening. No, she's abandoning her duties is what this has led to. The whole reason she had her leadership stripped by the GOP last year was because of her abject lack of attention to her job, because she was so focused intently on Trump. It was always Trump. And in fact, when they held the meeting, when they took her out of the seat, she walks out to the press and held impromptu interviews, and Donald Trump's name was on her lips within a matter of 30 seconds. You know, she's talking about, I just want to see our party move forward, and I want to see the Republican Party progress into a new era, and we need to get rid of Donald Trump in order to do that. I mean, she just couldn't stop herself. And January 6th commission, same thing. To the point that she's pleading with Democrats now in Wyoming to cross over and vote for her in the primary. And they're not. Now, part of it is because they're in such small numbers, but it's not going to happen. She's going to get hammered. Adam Kinzinger, her cohort on the January 6th committee, another Republican out of Illinois, he has done everything to earn favor from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. He's a regular feature on MSNBC, also on CNN frequently. I mean, just playing the game plan of the left entirely. He's basically a Democrat. They should love him. And then redistricting took place in Illinois, and the Democrats, who have been patting him on the back for months at a time, eliminated his district. So Adam Kinzinger, for his reward, is out of a job because of the Democrats. There you go. That should tell you something. Well, it gets even better, because recently in Michigan, Pete Mayer, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, M-E-I-J-E-R, he was another one. You could probably call him a rhino. He's a GOPer that was favoring the Democrats, voted to impeach Trump. He was also, I think he had some votes for gun control and a few other things that the Democrats should have applauded him for. And the Democrat campaign committee threw a ton of money in support of not Pete Mayer, but his opponent, who edged him out in the primary and got the nomination for the Republican Party. Democrats did this because they figure his opponent would be a weaker candidate for them to face off against, and they could win the seat. This was the reward for Pete Mayer for sucking up to the Democrats. They spent money to get him ousted in the primary. And these stories just continue on and on. So let that be a lesson to any Republicans looking across the aisle. Welcome back to WBT Radio here on the Pete Callender Show. Brett Sligger filling in, and we've been discussing the fates and the feats of Republicans who have been trying to earn favor from the Democrats in the media and how it's come back to bite them. Number of primaries have already taken place, and those who have sought favor from the Democrats have been burned by the very same Democrats. Talked about Kinzinger having his district removed and Pete Meyer having the Democrats campaign against him and in favor of his opponent. Now, that alone is a little bit disconcerting to anybody who's got kind of a rational approach to politics, because what the Democrats were doing here is supporting the candidate who they are then going to turn around and demonize as being a Trumper and a election denier and part of the big lie, which means that they are now going to start campaigning and demonizing somebody that they financially supported. They backed this individual monetarily, who they now say is incapable and immoral. It's politics. It's dirty politics. We all know that. But how are they going to then demonize an individual that they technically supported? You know, this is where the entire craziness of all this big lie nonsense comes into play. But when it comes to Liz Cheney, you know, this is where the reclassification of things comes into play. You know, I've talked about it a couple of days ago, how we are in this era where everything needs to be redefined. It's not a recession. We can't call somebody a woman. We can't declare anybody who gives birth a female, and on it goes. And the press is trying to do the same thing in regards to what is a conservative. So, for instance, Jake Tapper has come out recently and said that an odd feature of this era, where such labels are applied, lawmakers such as Meyer, Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, far more conservative than many of their MAGA critics on actual policies and beliefs, they're just unwilling to sanction Trump's election lies or excuse January 6th. So basically what Tapper's trying to say here is that if you're a true conservative, you don't sanction Donald Trump and come up with an excuse for January 6th. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Jake. I'm going to leave it to maybe a conservative to determine what actually is conservatism. And I'll tell you right now that Liz Cheney is not. Okay, she's too busy padding her own future at this point in time. You know, she's kind of gotten to the point of no return where she knows politically she's doomed herself. So all she can do now is just turn her back on the party and go full steam ahead with this effort of hers. And the effort being heading this January 6th commission now. This is her entire reason to be. And it's a setup at this point. Set up for her next stage, because she knows she has to be facing the reality that the election upcoming, she's doomed. It's not going to be there for her. So what is she going to do now? Well, look at the very fact that she has been a deeply frequent guest at CNN. I mean, she's become a regular there almost as much, if not more so, than Adam Kinzinger has been at MSNBC. I would not be shocked if either, if not both of them, were offered some kind of contract following the November elections with those prospective networks. That's the kind of thing she's busying herself with now, because what she's not doing as I said earlier, is her job. CNN had a reporter go out to Wyoming recently to discuss with voters there this very issue. And, you know, if you have any familiarity with how the video news industry operates, they go out looking for a story and finding it. You know, they'll go to these events and seek out the individuals that fit the exact template they have in mind. So, like, they'll go out to, as I said earlier, a Trump rally, and they'll find the kooks, the nuts, the crazy dressed individuals to get them on camera making wild quotes. In this particular CNN report, they only had people who were in stark opposition to Liz Cheney. And it wasn't because of the commission. It wasn't because of Trump. They all said the exact same thing, in fact, in this report. She's not doing her job for Wyoming. She's not representing the people of the state. And this is why they're turning their back on her. They've had the fundraising numbers come in, and I think something less than 25% of Liz Cheney's money has come from out of state, while her opponent, in state.